Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Socially Savvy, broadcasting live here at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Seattle. I'm your host, LB Duchess, with co-host Michael Kotzman, our food and wine ambassador. I'm filling in for Fancy Frenchwood. We have our favorite Jason with Wine Exchange.
Seattle Wine Exchange.
Sorry, those last-minute fill-ins throw me a little bit. And then our guest host, Philip Sternola and Patricia of O Christmas Tree for Providence.
Hello.
And they're going to be all here talking with us on what it is to be socially savvy fundraising and attending fundraisers. So today's show is brought to you by Padded Creek Cellars, New Tasting Room in Woodinville. And we are also have... Hello, I just need another glass of wine. I love it when technical difficulties start off at the show. It just flusters me. Okay, deep breath. And our second sponsor for the show is Pop Chips, one of our national sponsors. Don't miss their Facebook things. They're always got some great promotions going on out there. And they're really, one of the reasons we like them as a national sponsor is because they're so much a part of the community. They support tons and tons of special events, charity events. They're always there for swag and stuff. So we really, truly appreciate them.
Very cool.
Okay. Michael, we're going to have you start off the show, right?
Perfect.
Because apparently I need that for
that's okay. Beverage. But also feel free to call in at 323-843-6090. That's 323-843-6090. We do value your opinion and your call to your account. So please give us a call if you have a question or you want to make a comment. So first thing, we're at the Crown Plaza in Seattle. And we're up in the lounge up here, which is a really nice lounge up here, by the way.
It's beautiful.
And this is our second time we've been here, but what a great place to come and have dinner and have some drinks, what have you. So today we're actually having a martini, it looks like. It's got lemon on the rim, so I'm really excited to see what this tastes like. So, have a taste. Salud, everybody.
Salud. I think one of my favorite things about the show is being able to come to all these fabulous venues and try with the Crown Hotel here. We're featuring two of their famous drinks. And I think a lot of people, when they come to hotels or when you're coming in from out of town, a lot of people forget that if you don't know a restaurant to go to or you don't know a place because you're unfamiliar with the territory, go to a nice hotel like the Crown Plaza because they hire executive chefs that are here to make phenomenal food. That's how a big part of how they get their 4 and 5 star ratings, as well as they take pride in their happy hours and their diversity on their menus. So.
Absolutely.
If you don't know what to drink, you know, talk to the bartender.
Most definitely.
Ask them, you know, they'll ask you questions like, you want something sweet, something sour, something warm, something good. They'll help you out.
Yeah.
Right.
They're wonderful with that. So thank you, Crown.
Very cool. So it looks like it's a nice rum drink with Malibu coconut rum, lemon. Just a nice, fresh and clean drink. I like that. It's not cluttered with a bunch of sugar on the rim, which I like. So just kind of lets that taste come right through. That's a nice way to start off anything, really.
Even for a winter day like today, it's kind of like a taste of sunshine.
Yes.
Love
like
it.
Meanwhile, can you imagine we're all looking outside
going,
screaming.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, so very sad.
Very nice. Very well done.
Okay, well, we get to touch base with what it is to be socially savvy, brought to you by Sweet Talk Wipes. Just like our hands, our cell phones need to be regularly cleaned and detoxified. Order yours today at sweettalkwipes.com. So we're going to jump right into our socially savvy topic today, fundraising. We're going to be touching base on things like covering, putting on the events, RSVPing, attendance, attire. The new trend is the PWAC event. If you're going to party with a cause. If you're going to spend the $100, they might as well be attached to something that is going to benefit somebody, you know, then just yourself. I mean, there's a times for private parties, but with the trend going the way that it is, it has been fabulous to see all these fundraisers coming out that are very well represented. And like Donald and I were talking to one of our listeners about the quality of the event, making sure that you get good sponsors, good food, good beverages. And with so many companies out there looking to have their names associated to these great events, it seems like it's a great working relationship. And Philip, you and Patricia are here with O Christmas Tree. So why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about what kinds of events you guys have been doing and how long and about Providence.
Providence or Christmas Trees, and we're part of Providence Senior and Community Services. We've been doing events now for 27 years. We're in our 27th year of events. I know.
Have you been involved this whole time?
No, this is, I believe, my 10th year.
Wow, wow. And Patricia, so your involvement in the organization?
I'm the executive director of PSCS, Providence Senior and Community Services Special Events. And so Oak Christmas Trees is one of the events that my office puts on. We put on this three-day event to benefit seniors and chronically ill people in our community through hospice, sort of housing, long-term care, assisted living, that continuum of care. And this is our 27th year, and we're very proud of the success that we've had throughout Seattle. The event was a one-day event 12 years ago. And
12
this year,
ago, it has changed.
And this
tomorrow.
Year, we are a three-day event and raised about $1 million.
Wow. So you can definitely attest to quality and what goes into making a quality event, what I call socially savvy, with what's acceptable and what's not. So when you guys are looking to put on an event, what types of things are you trying to bring to it to give it that quality, to make it something special that everybody can enjoy?
Well, one of the things that I like to do is look for a partner, a vendor who's going to certainly embrace our cause, but also provide us with a long-term contract, for example. We have our events at the Westin Seattle, and we've had them there for the past 11 years. But when I sign my contract with them, I make sure that it's longer than 1 year. That way, I can hold my cost flat, but I can also be rest assured that we're all going to work very hard to make those events what they should be. So that's one of the things I look at. You talked about turning with a cause or for a cause.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one of the things that I look at is cause marketing. So who can I partner with who is going to embrace my cause but also help me raise money? And so those are the kinds of things that we look at the back side. And then, the front side of it is more, the logistics
right.
of doing that fundraising. Phil can talk about that a little bit because he works with me an awful lot when it comes to that.
Okay. So Phil has been on, the logistics. When you're trying to put together a quality event, something that is going to be, I coined the term socially savvy, where it appeals to the large majority of people. What types of things do you think that you need to be aware of in order to bring that kind of event to fruition?
A lot of what we try to look into is the decor matters a lot because we try to go with the color trends and that sort of thing that's going on. And we like for people to feel welcome at our event,
yeah.
And that's really important to us. The whole warm and welcome and people, when they come into our event, we like them to feel comfortable about opening up their wallets for their cause because it's really important for our
So that's what the whole purpose, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Go ahead, Patricia.
And I think kind of supplying that party atmosphere to the cause helps an awful lot. So making sure that... for example, our residents and patients, participants are somehow represented in the room makes a big difference in just in reminding people about why they're there. I also feel like Providence has a mission of being very inclusive, and I really would say that Oak Christmas Trees is one of those events where we welcome the entire community.
Wow.
And I think that we have really generated our reputation around that, which makes me feel very happy.
Well, with a track record of 27 years, that I could say that would be standing on its own, most definitely.
And when you have your shows, what can someone do that can't make it? What could they do to help you out, who can't make it to one of your events? What's a good thing for them to do?
Well, we do have a way that they can donate online at our website, which is
www.providence.org, and then click on special events, and you'll see Providenceville Christmas trees.
Wonderful. Okay, so on the flip side, coming from the other side, what do you think are some of the common mistakes or the unsavvy things that people do when they're putting together fundraising and some of the mistakes that they make?
Sometimes I don't think that they put enough thought into what it is that their cause is representing and maybe the sort of people that they're inviting. They might want to take the time to really look at their guest list and make sure that the people that are coming are going to support their event.
Wow,
like,
yeah, that's a good point. So you're talking about not just working on supporting one event, you're talking about the longevity of the quality of people that you're getting.
And because your event can't survive just the 1 year, you have to make sure that you're making plans for year after year after year, and you want to have key people to support you.
Right, because those different charities and benefits are, they are looking forward to those funds to survive, to continue helping the public and protecting the causes.
And you never want to give people the impression that you're in business just for that year.
Right.
You know, you are doing maybe a special event fundraiser, but you are, I mean, that's a business. You're running that business. So certainly your message needs to be, we're not in business for 1 year.
I think a lot of the spins that they do that, like, we're going to put on the spin, and we're a charity too.
I think so. I feel like, you know, for fundraising in general, there's so many ways to raise funds. And doing a special event is probably the most expensive and least effective if your bottom line is only the money. I mean, a special event fundraiser needs to be something where you're cultivating for the future, you know, where you're getting the exposure for your organization that you need to grow, and number three, that you're making money.
Wow, so, you know what, that's a really good point. I think a lot of people, they think, oh, I'm going to put on this big event because it's going to bring me the most money. They're not taking into consideration
the cost
and the longevity of what they're trying to do.
Not only that, but the more you have more every year, you're on your 12th year, you said?
27.
Or 27, excuse me.
Yeah, 27 for the year for the event.
Yeah.
Correct. Well, the more you're out there, the more people recognize that it's that time of year again where you're going to have that benefit. And they're ready for it. So it's kind of hard to start it out, I think, at first. But once the public knows who you are and recognize your event, they look forward to it. So very cool. And it's a hat off to you guys. I mean, 27 years. That's
cool. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm so pleased that, you know, in Seattle you can talk about fundraisers like Oak Christmas Trees and people do recognize that name.
Well, so many, you know, scams out there and what have you. People want to go to somewhere that they know is reputable, that's been around for a while, and they know that their money and their dollars, their hard-earned dollars, is going to go to something that they really wanted to go to.
Oh, absolutely.
So, absolutely, that's
and
really
cool. Secondary thing, one of the things that I've noticed being on the outside, you know, looking in, a lot of people talk about the trees that you guys do, and he was like, oh, you see so-and-so tree, they had all bears, or you see this so-and-so tree, I think that's the secondary people, it's kind of like people want to try to take it up a notch and say, I'm going to beat that person by helping out, and it becomes, I don't know, like a
competition.
It's positive,
yeah.
Positive
and
competition.
And the
friendly,
very friendly.
Yeah, friendly, yes.
Well, it's funny because last year, I live on the east side and I have children, and so my whole life has been wrapped up in that until about, you know, 3 years ago when I was able to enter the social scene on an adult level.
Mm-hmm.
And so last year was the first year that I was aware of the Christmas trees, and I remember looking at everybody's Christmas trees going, I want to do a Christmas tree. I want to compete in the Christmas tree. I need to work on my Christmas tree. You know, because I'm a big holiday lover, and I just love the idea of putting it out there and then donating, you know, somebody is bidding on this tree and taking it home with them, and all the money is going to a fabulous, fabulous cause, which I think is, you know, that's the whole crux of the, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it. So with that said, let's talk a little bit about RSVPs. Especially coming from something that has such longevity as 27 years. 27 years ago, you didn't have to talk about RSVP. People knew how to RSVP. They knew what was expected. They knew what was an emergency, what wasn't an emergency. They knew what was excusable and what wasn't. These days, not so much. So, you know, and I hate to be the downer, but there has come a point where I think in our society we need to start setting boundaries on what's acceptable and what's not, and how to properly RSVP. And I know we've talked about it more and more on the show, and sometimes I feel a little bit like a broken record with that, like the Facebook RSVPs. I think a lot of people use RSVPing as a way they feel that they're supporting the event by showing more people attending. And they're afraid that they're not going to get the exposure if they don't, you know, say I'm attending. I think there's like, it's okay to say no, and it's okay to say maybe. Why don't you tell us from your perspective why, what is so important about the RSVP? I mean, obviously, unmistakably, it's the planning and what you guys put into cost on the back end, but coming from 27 years, please.
Well, it's one thing, it's really nice for us to know who is coming to our event ahead of time so that we can market to those people, which a lot of people don't. A lot of people actually will come to our event and think that we just put it together the day before. But that's not the case.
You walk in the door, you know better.
Like, you're thinking about our Christmas in January. Well, yeah, you know, it's long year to plan an event. Actually, we're three events, the size of ours. The RSVP process is important because we need to have a head count. We need to know who's coming. We like to cater to their needs. Really, I would have to say, Patricia could probably answer that.
No, I think that's great. You know, one of the things that is very, very helpful in the RSVP is that you know who's coming so that you can anticipate any, you know, dietary needs or any other kind of special need that that person might have. But I always like to get the RSVPs early so I have time to personally call people and say, thank you, we're so glad you're coming, can't wait to see you, or email them to say, got your RSVP card today, thanks for coming, just so that I am making that personal connection with them as best I can early on. We have, for our gala, you know, we've got sponsors who have tables. And so some of the ways that the tables are filled is through a corporate sponsorship. I still like to know who's coming. And I have a whole system worked out where, you know, I send information. This will be coming to you. I'll meet this guest with. And then a kind of a series of three or four emails reminding them that I need their guest list for those reasons that we talked about. Now, that said, I know you're laughing at three or four times, but let me tell you something. It's a lot easier than three or four phone calls or three or four, you know, touches in some other way. Email has made this so...
It's probably streamlined quite a bit.
Yeah, personal touch. That's the difference between events. Me and my partner that I do events with myself, we had a conversation. It's like, what makes a difference is touching and the personality and personal. Like, we're really here to have an event for you guys. And that's the one thing I've known Philip here for a while. He's very warm, very inviting, wants to talk to you, and engaging. And I think that's the big difference between a regular event where you're like, oh, thank you, here's a card, you can have a nice day, there's your wine over there, go. It's not like that.
It really isn't, you know, and I think it speaks to, you know, the real desire of people to have that personal contact. We have probably, we raised $350,000 in corporate sponsorship.
Wow, that's a third of the money.
And you know, when the recession hit, things got pretty sketchy for all of us doing fundraisers.
Oh yeah.
We never ever lost a sponsor, not once.
It speaks to your organization as well.
Sponsors. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I think that it does speak to just our reputation. So, you know, RSVPing is important, but the personal touch is better, and the feeling of loyalty. If someone's loyal to you, they will RSVP, or they're going to reach out to you.
So talking a little bit again on the flip side, if let's talk a little bit about the detriment of what I would consider improper RSVP. You know, you want to show support for an event, so you RSVP yes with no intention of showing up. I mean, and maybe not so much with your organization, but I know we see it a lot in general. I know some fundraising events who are trying to gain, you know, ground and collateral, and people who are just starting to do these people are trying to show support, and they say they're going to be there, and they don't. Can you speak a little bit on the detriment to the event when they do that?
Well, it all goes right back to the planning. I mean, people have planned for you to come. They've spent money on the catering or the alcohol or what have you on the space that they need for as the event itself, you know, at the location. So, I mean, it's just that form to not RSVP.
Properly.
And it's just good form to show up when you do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's common sense.
So then how do you feel? I've always been an advocate of if you really can't make that commitment, rather than RSVPing yes and not making it, RSVP maybe, and then say, you know, I've got some things going on. If I can at all make it, I'm going to be there. I feel that you're a priority. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I think a maybe is very acceptable. You know, and I think, and I like how sometimes people, when you do RSVP maybe, like say on Facebook or on e-bite, you'll get a message from them saying, could you please update your request, you know, as it gets closer to the event.
Yes, actually, I do.
And I think that's very nice, you know, and it's like it kind of reminds me about the event.
Right.
You know, oh, I could maybe for that, maybe I can't attend, or I know now that I can't attend. You know, I mean, I think that's very acceptable to click me.
Okay.
And if you're not coming, click not attend.
As soon as you know you're not making it, please. And again, I want to reiterate to the listeners, we do understand when we're throwing events, even if from fundraisers or non-fundraisers, that life happens and emergencies happen.
Yes, last minute.
You know, we had a couple of guest hosts who were going to be on with us, and one of them, they had a relative pass away, and the other one ended up in the doctor's office for the third time in 5 days. So, no, I'm like, you're not going to say anything. Those are completely legitimate reasons for having to bow out gracefully.
There's always exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
Always, you know, but I mean, if you can attend, not attending, maybe it's very acceptable. If you are coming for sure, then hit that RSVP button. And another thing is good to do is to check your event.
Yeah.
Regularly, I do. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I mean, think about it. Make it part of your, like morning routine when you check email. Check that Facebook event page or that e-bite event, you know, and make sure
you're on top
of
it.
Yes.
Well, and just to derail a little bit, I think a lot of people may not recognize on the bottom of the Facebook event, if you go down to the very bottom of the page on the event, it says export. You can export it directly to your calendars, particularly if you have a Mac, and I'm not sure what other formats that they work with, but you hit export, and it will go through, I think, two little screens that you hit your buttons on, and it's downloaded into your schedule. If you have a phone you plug into your computer, it's then all of a sudden automatically updated to that, too.
Well, I'm going to do that, because I love to make
money. I love it.
I know, yeah.
You said it before in previous shows of yours that, you know, you don't have to say yes to be cool. It's okay
correct.
To say no if you're busy. You know, don't be a Facebook flake. You know,
yeah. And we've hated using that phrase, but, I mean, truly, it's trying to create a little bit of an outline of where we need to be as a society to get back to an established place where we can make the proper plans and put on better quality events and be more accountable. I mean, we're asking our younger generation to be accountable, but we have to look in the mirror and go, are we being accountable as adults?
Now, the one thing to remember, when you say yes, you don't show the events that Province put on, they're non-profit. They're not making a dime off this. They're doing
correct.
This for work. So keep that in mind. If you say yes and you don't go, you're really hurting them.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Most definitely.
That really does hurt us when we have planned for X amount of people and, you know, a percentage of them don't show up. It doesn't happen very often. But I think with the, you know, this technology has changed so much in the past 5 years, just in terms of how we're gathering names.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That I can see, you know, this maybe happening more and more. We still are very formal in our invitation process. We send out an invitation with a formal RSVP card that we expect to get back in the mail. One of my staff takes care of our Facebook page. Thank goodness.
I know, I popped on your Facebook page today.
And, you know, she tracks people who RSVP for events on our Facebook page, but we don't give people the opportunity to RSVP to a Christmas tree, the gala on Facebook. They need to RSVP.
Personal contact.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to say, you know, a lot of the Facebook pages themselves that you RSVP on, will, if you really need to read those, because they will say you need to contact
us personally. Yes.
To actually RSVP for this event, a Facebook RSVP
is not a guarantee.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Well. One of the reasons is because if we're doing a special event, and most people who do special events have a software program that integrates all that information, and so it does not integrate with Facebook. So that's why we need to have that
personal touch. I love it. Okay, so moving on with socially fundraising, let's chat a little bit about attending. So let's say that I'm new to attending charity events. What kinds of tips would you give me as far as being appropriate? What would be appropriate and maybe what would not? I want to speak a little bit about attire, regardless of age. And if you're new and you don't know a whole lot about it, what's the best way to kind of approach it, do you think?
Well, one thing that I would like to say, like, especially if you're going to like, say, an auction here in Seattle, we do have quite a bit that seems to be the main fundraiser. I would say to show up on time, really. I mean, really, you want to show up on time for these events, and I have to tell you, most people do. Fashion too late is just not acceptable anymore.
Yeah.
So.
And from what I understand, showing up on time is because you guys have a format that you're following as far as auctions, presentations, speakers. One of my biggest FAPs is when you're attending an event and the speaker is speaking, and typically that's the most poignant part of the speech, and somebody starts talking very loudly in the front row about something that has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on, or their phone goes off. It's those types of things I think we need to be reminding people, you know, it's not a movie theater, but yes, you need to treat it like it's a movie theater, because there's a lot of people that are attending these events, and it's very close to their heart. It has a lot of meaning. You know, maybe the person next to you has lost their aunt to a cancer, and that's what they're speaking on. Or, you know, maybe it's a pause event, and it's about animals, and you're sitting next to an animal lover. I think it's really important to remember that there is decorum. There is a proper way of behaving when you attend an event.
Very nice thing that I couldn't agree more. I think that in terms of attire, you know, we typically put on our invitation what the attire is, whether it's business casual, whether it is, you know, festive wear, whether it's cocktail attire. So I think that, you know, one of the things that I would ask people to think about when they're dressing for an event is to just be aware that probably a gala event is not the place for jeans. It's probably not the place for shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you.
Let's talk skirt length.
Or long.
skirt length, yes.
Yes. Please wear an appropriate
skirt length and plunging neckline.
Yeah, don't dress like you're going to a burlesque show.
Or
no.
A mega show. And I understand some people.
And this is not a nightclub.
And thank you. And I think that's what a lot of people get confused. They think gala, and then they see something, oh, we're going to go to an after party. So they're trying to dress for the whole thing. If you have a dress that is more nightclub style and you're planning on enjoying the nightclub or the after party, you need to have a jacket or something that is going to, yes, that is going to bring you up to a level that is more, what's the word I'm looking for, probably more neutral.
Neutral. Yeah. And for us, you know, the sisters of Providence attend their events because they are the founders of Providence.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that puts a little bit more pressure on us to communicate
what the proper attire is.
Yeah.
You know, and if, like, at our gala, or if if it's any gala, really. I mean, you don't have to wear black tie, although black tie is appropriate, but a suit is also acceptable. You know, but just give it some fun. You know, let's dress up a bit.
Enjoy the process.
Yeah. Exactly. A fun night out and dress up.
I see gala, I'm like, oh, yes. I get to play. I get to play dress up. So, okay. Well, I believe we're going to be touching base with our food here in just a second. But while we're waiting for the chef to come back out, then let's wrap up a little bit. And is there anything else you'd like to speak to on?
Well, we'd like to tell you a little bit about our 3-day event.
Oh, wonderful. Please, yes.
Okay. Well, we have on Monday,
November 28th,
we have our Christmas Carnival at the Westin in the Grand Ballroom, which is open to the public, where you can come and view our Christmas trees. We have 16 trees decorated by various local talents, and it's wonderful. We even have a waiting list to see who's going to design our trees every year. We're very
busy. See, I need to put myself on that wait list. It'll take me
exactly.
About 5 years to get there.
Yeah. We have our presenting artist, which we have every year, Thierry Retro, the chef in the hat, is our presenting artist this year. We've had lots of great presenting artists, such as Jehuli, Luli Yang, just to name a few, Steve Jensen. Yeah,
wow.
Wonderful trees that they've designed for
And you've
us.
Done a tree.
Oh, yes, I do a tree every year.
And I think one of our other friends, Count Cody, has done a tree. Yes.
Cody, that's a tree.
Yeah.
And then on the next day, we have a luncheon on Wednesday the 28th.
Tuesday the 29th.
Days backwards and forwards.
I know. We have a luncheon, which is our fashion show. And this year, we're featuring the Finery. It's going to be very nice.
Oh, fun.
And then the next night, which is Wednesday, the 30th, we have our big black tie gala where we auction off the trees. And we do probably 1,000,001, 1,000,002 that night. So we're really looking forward to that. And the energy is great.
We're hoping to be able to get there and support you guys and cover a little bit of the event.
Thank you.
Yeah, and definitely www.providence.org. Click on the special events and go to Providence or Christmas Trees and check out the date, because it's definitely not to be missed. Oh, and please, the family is really welcome at the Christmas Carnival.
Ooh, I love that. Okay, well, we'll be looking for those on Facebook, and then we'll link them on our socially savvy page as well.
Great.
Very excited. We're going to have the chef bring over the food.
Alrighty.
And tell us what is key. I know that today we're focusing on dinner menu items, I believe, Michael.
It looks like we are. And so here comes. We're going to make some room here.
What are we looking at here?
Looks like a salad. And what's your name? Sage.
Sage.
And Sage is going to talk to us a little about what we're going to be having or what we're bringing out here.
Oh, it looks delicious.
Welcome, Sage.
Thank you. This is our smoked salmon salad. We smoke this in-house. It has red cherries, smoked almonds, onions. And a light salmon vinaigrette.
Wow. It looks really good.
It does. It looks really good. I'm looking forward to tasting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little about now. Tonight we are featuring your dinner menus.
We're featuring dinner menus, and we offer both in the restaurant and the bar.
Uh-huh. And your staff, you guys have an exceptional chefing staff on...
That's okay.
Look at him. Okay. on board here. Because you are such a high-rated hotel. Tell us a little bit about what goes into your thoughts when you guys are trying to put down, you know, these dinner menus and these plates, because you do have a large demographic, a very varying audience that comes in and through your restaurant.
Well, we try to stick to things that would appeal to a broad spectrum of people for foods.
Oh, like that.
Then we try to also do have Northwestern where they assist people
in Washington.
As we are here. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the other things that we have.
Okay.
Not a problem.
All right.
So, Michael, you're sitting next to it. You get to taste it first and tell us about it.
The cool thing is that I know, and I'm not sure if he'll tell you, you know, it's also seasonal, too. You know, fresh is available. It's available to market, also in packed menu, and as well as their ideas and what they want to put forward on the menu. So maybe Sage can speak to that as far as, you know, season. seasonality and freshness available. You know, how do you approach a menu and how do you put that together every season?
Well, we look at what we can get. Now we can get coho salmon fairly regularly.
Yummy.
While it's still fresh. And then vegetables. We try to use organic when we can.
Okay.
It's a little harder here in the winter.
What's your favorite season?
Me first.
What inspires you the most?
Summer.
Summer?
Summer.
Oh, okay. Be outside, sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want, you're good.
So, Sage, our last broadcast we had, we talked about wine and pairing a wine with a celery. What kind of wine would you pair with that?
With the chicken parmesan here? Or
what would you, out of the three dishes that you have, what would you recommend wine-wise would you have?
We have got the chef here. He's like, I cook it. Other people get to choose the wine. So tell us a little bit about what's on these different plates.
Okay.
I'm seeing some asparagus here.
Yeah. We have an almond-crusted mahi and a tomato, feta cheese, basil, kind of gremolata.
Wow.
And then it's drizzled with a balsamic reduction, served with mashed potatoes and today.
Now, is this your typical serving size here?
Yes.
Wow. So, a couple could come in and really enjoy sharing a meal.
Right.
It's a very generous portion.
It's a generous portion and reasonably priced.
Can I ask how much this one usually goes for?
$15.95.
Oh, wow. Okay. Another plus for coming to a hotel.
Value.
Okay. And the second?
Classic chicken parmesan.
Wow. It looks decadent.
Yeah.
It's hard to go wrong.
I was going to say.
This is one of our top sellers. It's comfort food.
Love it.
Yes, on a day like today, cold, wet, rainy outside, comfort food.
Give me pasta, give me chicken, give me potato.
Yeah. That's exactly what I want.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for being a host and coming out and telling us a little bit about your food. This is the second time we've been able to chat with you. And we loved your food last time, and we're going to love this, too. Thank you so
much.
Okay, so that was... I cannot wait to try this food. I know. I'm sitting here going, typically we have a few more hosts that we can go, you know, be sampling and talking about it as we're eating and doing the show, but we're short-staffed today. So we're going to be sitting here looking at the food and a test. Actually, Michael, I'm going to assign you to try the food while I continue on with the format so you can speak.
Well, I don't know.
I know.
Boy, you're sure asking a lot out of me here.
You know, just to kind of...
I would slap the mic right out of your mouth.
I used to work in hotels, too, and it's like, the food here is very consistent, you know. When you come into a hotel, you know, like you said before, talk to your waitress, your server, talk to your bartender. Don't be afraid to experiment, try something new.
Yeah,
I know.
Like
we said last time, you know, Michael can attest. It's like, just ask me questions. It's okay. He's carefully eating some salad there.
He looks happy.
He's got a good smile on his face.
So he looks happy. Okay, so Jason, let's touch base a little bit on socially acceptable and unacceptable. It's brought to you by Cascade Ice, only 2 calories, and one of our national sponsors. We love them.
Definitely very good.
Yes, they're in our swag bag. Okay, socially acceptable. We did cover this. It is socially acceptable to RSVP maybe when attending fundraising events. Do you have any other socially acceptable tips, things that maybe people forget or are unaware of when they're looking at attending an event?
When you're looking at attending an event, don't double book. You know, there are some folks who think, well, I can do 3 events in one night.
So it's socially unacceptable to double book.
It's tough. If
it's
you're,
tricky.
You know, that goes into somebody, I don't know, maybe morals, you're like, oh, you know, I'm there, I'm everywhere. All right, that's cool, but at the end of the night, you know, especially as society comes now, it's about quality. You know,
quality
I'm not your friend for 5 minutes. I'm your friend for, you know, a night. And if you really just want to go and touch base on, you know, event here, event there, event there, that's your own calling. But in reality, I personally think if you really have a good event, pick the right event and go with it and stick with it, especially if it's a charity event, because everything that you put forward in that helps them. You know, when
that's
you go to Socially Tavern, you're there and you get their food and you get their drink, every extra help that you have helps them.
That's true.
You know,
And believe it or not, those listeners that even event producers, they're looking out too. They see the invite list. They may not invite you next time. I mean, maybe that's a little mean, but if they say, hey, there's somebody who's abusing our generosity, because it does take time, you know, maybe they might not. You know, it is a two-way street, you know. And for me to say social and fashion on Tabby, it's like, try to be real. Really, just take the time.
That's a good point. I like that. That's a good point. Okay, socially unacceptable. We did cover this one again. It's socially unacceptable. RSVP, yes, showing support with no intention to show up. That one's really, it's a hard one to try to get people to understand. Yes, we understand you're trying to be supportive of the event. We appreciate the support. It goes farther for your reputation and for ours for you to leave a comment that says, you know, wishing you the best of luck. I'm not going to be able to make this, or I'm going to try to make it and do an RSVP maybe, than it is to RSVP yes and not show up.
I actually have a new one for you. That, you know, as you know, I sell wine, and one of the things that's kind of bothersome for me is that it's socially acceptable to, I don't have a better way of saying this, to drink too much.
To get
drunk.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it happens, it's cool, I get it, it's not judgment here. It's
excuse yourself,
like,
if you get to that.
Right. You know, come with somebody else and kind of back up a little bit, especially if you're doing a nice gala event. You know,
no, that's a good, that's
it's
actually.
It's kind of tough. Get a good base. Get get a burger before you go to an event and you start, you know, drinking.
Use all those little tricks, vitamin D. Figure out what works for you, let it or B, I think
I
is what it is.
That. Michael, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think that attests to a good point.
No, that's a good point. And a lot of times what I'll do is, and I know a lot of us have busy schedules and hectic lifestyles and stuff like that, and we were talking about that earlier. So I think one of the things I do, as I pack things in my car, you know, you being ready for the holiday season and stuff,
right,
especially for traveling.
You should see my car.
Yeah, you know, having some nuts, some, you know, or fruit and nuts, and maybe an energy bar in the back of your trunk, you know.
Right.
You know, with an adult or anything, you know, blankets and water and stuff like that. So, you know, having one of those ready to go, if you can't stop and get a burger or have something to eat before you go, you got something.
Get some protein in you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enjoy
so,
the power of the happy hour, too. You know, there's a lot of happy hour spots around here that we bought a Frankfurter that is like, you know, you can have a great burger, you know, Kobe
the
beef,
sliders.
$5.
Yeah.
Sliders. Yeah. Take advantage of it. You're helping, you know, you're helping, not only are you helping the restaurant, but you're also helping yourself put a base in your stomach, so that way, if you do have a little more than you should, you're not going to be completely out.
Well, and let's just look at it from a practical point of view, ladies. When you're wearing 4-inch heels on stilettos with a platform, you know, getting overly intoxicated typically means your feet are up in the air and you find yourself in a very uncomfortable position, you know, publicly. So, you know, just take into consideration, there's those different aspects of overindulgence. And it's like they say, you know, too much of any good thing is still too much. So, yes, I like that. Good point. Make sure you're not toasted. It is socially unacceptable to dress without concern for the event. And when I say dress without concern for the event, I don't mean just wearing a skirt that's too short or wearing jeans. I mean, if you're walking in to a casual event and you're wearing diamonds and a fur coat, you've still gone too far the wrong way. The whole purpose of going to a social event is to be able to socialize, not necessarily quote-unquote fit in, but to be approachable where you're making people feel comfortable. If you walk into a place and you are immediately making people uncomfortable, you've kind of defeated the purpose of why you're there, if it's truly to socialize. Now, if you're going to try to make a statement, I'm all that, well, you did, but you're not going to be respected for it.
No.
So, and then the same thing, you know, from a casual point of view, casual does not mean ripped and tore. Even, and I'm going to say, even if the jeans were $250. There's a time for what is cool, like a runway show. If we're talking style and fashion, you can probably get away with that with a really, you know, elegant shirt. But if you're talking more of a semi-formal, no.
I do have a question about that. So, you know, we get jeans that are jeans, Levi's and all that. What is an acceptable jean style? You have, she prints presented some jeans that are very nice and beautiful. Is that something that I could go to an event like this? I mean, what
Most
is the line?
Definitely. I think if it's ever in question, if it says casual and you're ever in question, there's a couple of rules of thumb that I go when wearing jeans. Number one, they need to be clean and neat. not fresh out of the dryer, all crumpled up, because it gives you the impression of being lazy and sloppy. Number two, you don't want them to look warm. Again, it makes you look messy and untidy. So, you know, make sure, and then of course three, you know, don't have any rips in them, because it can be tacky, and a rip in the wrong place can look even tackier. So, you know, there is a fine line between fashion and what is hip and going on, and the event that you're attending.
So don't come out looking like you came out of a Def Leppard video.
Most definitely not. and for those people who are questioning, you know, I've got a $300, $450 pair of jeans on, but I have leggings underneath. I'm sorry. Still, the rips and the tears typically are... Know where you're at and know what's acceptable. There are tons and tons and tons of events where you can wear those things too. Don't push the mark and wear them where you shouldn't be.
Age appropriate too.
Oh, shall we go into age appropriate? talking about skirt length. I'm sorry, but I don't know at any age where it is appropriate to wear a skirt length where if you bend over, the world understands, can identify your bikini waxer. at least in the States. There, again, is a time and a place. And if you're going to a nightclub, that's great. But if you're going to any kind of a public event, I can't think of off the top of my head, and I could be wrong, any type of a public event where it is you're there to be social and you're with a mixed group where that is going to be appropriate. No. One of our listeners just showed us that's on the beach. That's not in an event. So.
It's actually interesting that you say that, because we went to a party at another hotel a year or so back, the Oscar night, and the girls were very beautiful, and they had a very nice J-Lo type of style dress on. And it's like, yeah, it kind of looked nice and sexy, but it was the wrong event. It was just too short. It just didn't fit.
I think a lot of people get confused. They like the dress, but they forget there is an appropriate length. You want to... I'm going to try to say this as tackily as possible. You want to be approaching the knee as close as possible with a little bit of slip, a little bit of swoosh. I mean, I've seen some women where it's solid about halfway through the leg, down the leg, and then it's sheer from the mid leg to the knee. You know, as long as you don't have really short upper leg, you know, that can be acceptable. But again, you've got to take a look in the mirror, stand back.
Yeah.
Well,
not only that, but yeah, someone should maybe talk to people over, like, Joey.
Okay, well... Now you're talking about a whole different demographic. Now,
well,
we have not started the show
about,
yet for that.
You know, I went to Citrus, you know, and I went and had some appetizers, what have you. And I got to tell you, some of the girls there, they should be listening to this broadcast right now. I won't say anything else.
There is that.
That's what they should do.
There is that. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about the food that you tasted, and then
wow.
I'm going to pass it to Jason so he gets to try.
Okay, so, that salad with the salmon, beautiful. It had nice... had some almonds in there, some dried cherries, smoked salmon. It was just a really nice almond vinaigrette in there. And, you know, talk about, you know, what you can pair with that. A nice, you know, maybe a Pinot Noir would be really nice with that. Any
sure.
white with, you know, good acid, maybe some fruit forward on it would be just a wonderful pairing with that. So awesome, awesome. Really nice. You know, big, it's a big thing of salad.
I think
that would be
really,
almost a meal
really,
for myself.
Really good.
So... And then we moved on to the, or I moved on, actually. But the, I believe that's the almond encrusted fillet of white fish. Halibut, that's right. And
was
it
cod or halibut?
Beautiful. Nice crust on it. Well prepared by Chef Sage and his crew. Just a nice balsamic reduction on it.
Oh, I love balsamic.
And plating
tomatoes.
Is really nice.
And potatoes.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And then he said their most popular dish right now is
mm-hmm.
chicken parmesan. It is spectacular. The chicken's not always done. It's just tender, beautiful. Just the amount of tang on the tomatoes. It's really nice.
Listening in, looking at it, you've got a lot of food here for the money that you're
I can't believe
for.
That, yeah.
It's a beautiful presentation, too.
And,
wow.
Yeah. And for the price, you are definitely, listeners, you're going to get your bang for your buck. So come down here and definitely highly recommend you to be there. So.
Wonderful. We thank Crown Hotel again,
mm-hmm.
Crown Plaza,
nice.
For being a sponsor for us and
yes.
letting us try and talk about this fabulous food.
Just because it's a...
I know Jason's like trying to finish his food. Nobody wants to put the food down. We're really looking forward to the end of the show. Sorry, listeners.
Because this one is out there. It's like, you know, they think, oh, you know, I live in the city. Why should I come to a hotel?
you don't have to stay here to enjoy the food here. Come hang out. Pretend you're on vacation. Get a night out with, you know, your partner,
oh,
your
totally.
Spouse, your girlfriend, friend. It's a good thing to kind of come out and support because you're missing some of a lot of the top foods around here that you don't have to go and, you know, be on vacation. Why not take a chance and come for half here and pretend you are? It's a good thing. Come on, try it.
Okay, and we're very excited to enjoy the last beverage tasting of the night here at Crown Plaza. Michael, you want to tell us a little bit about this final beverage that they have brought over, this beautiful concoction?
So another round drink that we're going to have right now, and it's got actually a little touch of amaretto in it and white cranberry and
this
a little pineapple. So, you know, we're having some tropical drinks here, so I think it's people who just want to escape Seattle weather right now. It's just kind of a
little. You can do it through a beverage.
A little piece of, yeah, exactly. Just a little piece of heaven right here. So, and it looks real fresh. Let's have a drink. Salute, everybody.
Salute. Cheers. Salute. To being socially savvy in every way. Of course, you know.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like the amaretto in here. It's got a little, a little nutty flavor in there. Some citrus. Beautiful.
I could pretend the sun's out for that. Sit in front of a window with the sun shining.
My job. It makes them smile.
I know. It's really hard to hate what we do, isn't it?
Resurgence of classic cocktails right now in America.
Oh yes, with what do they call that? The Mad Men and the new Playboy Club TV show and all these fabulous shows that are the kickback throwbacks.
Prohibition.
You know, and exactly. So now you were talking. Now that we're talking, we're going to jump into the last 10 minutes of the show where we're going to talk about some more of the local stuff. But you had brought up a point about Prohibition, something that you had seen on the internet today. So tell us a little bit about that. That was cool.
Well, I think there's a documentary going on about Prohibition, which, in my opinion, was making laws for morality. They thought that if they could remove the immorality, remove that from your life, people would be better. But what it did was...
made them naughtier.
Yes, a whole other field of business, you know, and it lasted 13 years?
Yeah.
Something like that? 13 years. I'm looking at my wife. She's the one who's really into that. She can help. She makes the classic cocktails in our house. She's really good at it.
Love it.
If you haven't had her old fashioned in Manhattan, it's something that's really, really good. But we're watching, we watch Boardwalk Empire on HBO, and it's during the time where the mobsters really kind of made their money. I mean, we're talking, they were making $1 million a month in those times off of liquor. Where
that
no
is
taxes,
crazy. Tax free. Oh my gosh.
Millions of dollars a month. Tax free. So it's one of those laws where you're talking about an intimate contract started by women.
It's justified. I mean, it was justified. It was real. But it just the unintended consequences.
Well, I think our culture has a habit of what I call the pendulum effect. We go too far one direction, and then to correct it, we go too far the other. Instead of going to that happy balance, we go, oh, no, we have to, it's like the movie, why did they relaunch Footloose? Hello, the movies that come out are indicative of what's going on or thought processes in the back stages of our society. You know, why do we have superheroes? Because we have a lot of loss of hope. We're looking for hope. I think there speaks a lot to some of these movies, especially like the reenactment of Footloose again.
Yeah, it goes back to that day where you can't
listen. Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that.
So, speaking of bringing back, they're talking about classic cocktails. And the way the classic cocktails were the alcohol, the three parts, you know, the main course, the alcohol, the bitters, or the juice. It is like bring it back to something that's, you know, the quality of the alcohol versus like making a mixed drink with, you know, like a Mai Tai or something like that.
Right.
Well, and not only that, but I think, you know, we have this period. It's kind of a trend, you know. Everything follows like almost a fashion trend. I mean, we got into drinks that are like, you know, 15 ingredients and
sure.
Three of them you have to like, you know, taste chicken or I don't know. But, you know, and it's just coming back, you know. Sometimes you just got to, you know, make it simple, you know. You don't have to do a lot of things to a drink. And same with food. Food's almost the same kind of thing, you know. We joked last week about gastronomic food and that kind
molecular
of thing.
Molecular
gastronomy. I couldn't think of the word. Just like totally good. But yes, absolutely. You know, getting back to basics and, you know, doing good food is good.
You know what's really hard?
Simple.
It's really hard to make a roast chicken. There's a restaurant in town that we go to all the time that we love their roast chicken, and all it is chicken, salt, pepper, butter.
Yeah. It's just how they cook it. Yeah.
It's a beautiful dish. What do? Little salt, little pepper. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, everyone does it. So.
Exactly.
It's hilarious, but you know, it's true. You know, we keep it simple. You start off with good quality ingredients, and that includes beverages.
And it comes through in the flavor.
It makes it that much better. So.
I would totally agree.
What I really tell people is it comes down to the quality of it.
Yeah.
So I would agree with that.
The best cocktail that I know of is a martini. And you really have dry vanilla, you have gin. You know? And it's so simple, with a little olive juice and garlic.
And you're good to go.
Yeah, you don't need more than two or three ingredients in a really good cocktail.
Yep. Okay, well, we've got a few minutes left of the show. We're going to push forward with a couple of socially savvy tips for the holidays and preparing for the holidays. Every week we're going to try to bring you some new reminders and tips so that you can stay on top, look your best, and be your best at all the events. The number one is make all your appointments for services 5 to 6 weeks in advance if possible, especially as the holidays approach. You don't want to be caught last minute with your hair too long, or if you're, you know, there's certain things, like there's people like me who like our lashes, so get those appointments done so that when you attend these events, you feel like you're at your best. This is a key one, I feel. Know your destination and parking accommodations. Will you have to walk a long ways? Is weather going to be an issue? Maybe look at carpooling or taking a taxi in. You know, get to a friend's location who's closest to the event and carpool together, or call a taxi if you're really wanting to enjoy the evening and not worry about driving. And then finally, this week's tip, planning parties. Try to give a good leeway in planning the party so that people can plan ahead to attend your event. It keeps you from getting your feelings hurt, and it keeps them from feeling rushed and obligated.
You know, and it's funny because I think of these things all the time. It's not seasonals for me, sort of the holidays and stuff for me. It's just something I think about all the time. Especially when it's raining, I always make sure I have an umbrella in the back trunk. You know, I always make sure I got another coat just in case, you know, those purposes, you know, that you're out with a date or what have you, or you're out with your wife or your girlfriend, and it's raining. It's tough to, you know, you got to walk to the back. She waits for me to open the door, but I get in the trunk, I open the umbrella. I open the door and she is covered. So
yep.
It's just, you know, you're always ready to go. So no matter what
be
situation,
prepared.
What weather,
just like the military.
Prepared. But I tell you what, they make the biggest impression too.
They do.
So.
Be prepared, and communication is one of the biggest things you can ever do in your life.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to have to skip by a few things this week, which is not a bad thing. We had lots of fun things to talk about. We're going to jump right into coming up this week, brought to you by Eye Candy Lash Boutique in Kirkland. Get a full set of lashes this week for only $100. Book yours today at 425-587-1133. Legacy Community Luncheon, Wednesday, October 12th from 11:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the Seattle Sheraton Hotel. This benefits the Providence Mount Si Vincent Foundation, and they're excited to announce their keynote presenter for this year, October 12th luncheon, and it's also the Academy Award-winning actress Marlene Matlin.
Nice.
Actor, wife, and mom, Miss became the youngest recipient of the Best Actress at age 21. So look forward to that event. Working Women's Wednesday with Fox and Jubal is at the Suite in Bellevue on Wednesdays from 5 to 7. Great fun event. If you're looking to social network, this is the place to do it. It's a lot of fun. They give a lot of great prizes out. High fashion comes to Bellevue at the Bellevue Club Fashion Show on October 14th. See the latest in everything from swimwear to evening wear at this evening event. They have three different levels of tickets that they're giving away or that you can purchase. Go to brownpapertickets.com, and the event is 183208 for more information. One of my favorites, Stomp Party and Fireman Chili Cook-Off, Saturday, October 15th at one of our wine sponsors, Petite Cellars and Challenger Ridge over there in Woodinville. Get to meet some of the hot firemen right out of the calendar in their own chili cook-off. I know, that was going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, Chick Chat. Chat is doing their big O, bringing orgasm pleasure to all aspects of your life. Don't ask. I'm not going to tell. Thursday, October 20th. It actually has a little bit more depth meaning to that, but it is the 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Fly Fitness in Carillon Point. You can go to Chick Chat Seattle for more information on that event. Week, we're going to be at Gunnar Nordstrom's gallery, and we're going to spend the next couple of minutes here live pulling for our prizes. So everybody have a socially savvy week, and thank you for being here. And now we get to eat. Perfect. That was a good. The first 2 minutes was a little rough. I apparently need to have a drink well before I start the show.
Yeah, watch Prohibition on PBS.
You really like it.
I like the sound of that.
And now, okay, so the wineries that were making wine switched over to making it church, which was the owner.
Yes, that is a really cool part of it. Okay, so I picked for three of the smaller prizes, so now somebody else needs to pick for the Vegas trip. Because if I pick it, then there's going to be a problem. Oh, you should have. Oh, well. Yeah, there's some others.
Patricia won it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. She won the biggest one. So, Ryan, you won one of the main prizes. So you get to choose from the $50 dinner certificate or the bottle of wine. He's going to look at the wine.
I'll take the wine.
Okay. So there's two nights stay in Vegas. I need a pen so I can write that on this. That's why I said everybody get your cards in. I was trying to get everybody to get their cards in. That is hilarious. Philip won one of our really cool swags, and then
it's a reminder of that.
He's from that marriage.
Roger? Is Roger still here?
What'd you win, man?
I took the bottle.
Longest, Roger? No, he must have left.
I still have like a. I didn't want to use
the. Okay, well. The certificate is going to be for somebody who's here, so draw. I'm not mailing. Philip, you had your card in here twice. No way.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Let me know. You guys up here, I got cards from.
Oh, well, there's. He just put two of his. Yeah, both of his is not. Vault Denim, you got the certificate for $50. And I've got swag for them.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I've got swag for everybody else. So let me go ahead and hand those out, and then I'm going to eat. So I'm going to put that.